Sometimes family feuds run for centuries. Generations after generations nurse the old grudges that keep people apart. But the cycle can be broken. Forgiving others for great wrongs dissolves years of hatred in mere moments. That's what happened when Joseph forgave his jealous brothers for selling him as a slave. Today, one of the most unforgettable episodes in all the Bible. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his series on When You've Been Wronged. Our topic is Seeing God in Injustice. Turn to Genesis chapter 45 as Dr. Lutzer tells the story of Joseph's reconciliation with his brothers.
So Joseph now is going to reveal himself to his brothers. Chapter 45, verse 4, Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please," and they came. And now he's going to reveal who he is after all of these events. "And now," he says, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life." He's saying, don't be mad at yourself for what you did. He set his brothers free. Most of us in that situation, we'd have said, "Okay, you guys, I forgive you, but I want to tell you a thing or two. I just want you to get clear what it was like for me. Have you ever put yourself in my sandals? Have you ever thought of what it was like at the age of 17 to be sold like that, to go from pillar to post, to be thrown in jail for 2 years? Do you realize what you guys did to me? Sure, I'll forgive you, but I just want you to know how deeply you've wounded me." In fact, what he does is he asks that everybody else be put out of the room because he didn't even want the Egyptians to know what his brothers had done so that the Egyptians would not think ill of them. So he shuts everybody out and says, I need to just be with my brothers. And that's the best way that reconciliation takes place, just with the ones that wounded you. And so he says, let's do it here. But I want you to know, don't be angry with yourselves. I'm not going to go into a laundry list of all the ugly things that happened because of what you did. Isn't that like Jesus? He can speak to us and he can say, be thou forgiven. Now, sometimes the Spirit of God does convict us of sins, absolutely. But after the sins are confessed and forsaken, does he say, okay, I'll forgive you, but I want you to know today, have you ever thought of what you did? Do you realize what you've done? You think to yourself that you can hold this bitterness because you're really more righteous than the people who hurt you. Do you want me to show you all of your sins? How about using the equipment of Moody Church with our lovely screens? And let's go on for a half an hour and list some of the things you have done. And let's get this straight. I'll forgive you. But I want you to understand a thing or two. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth those that fear him. For he knows our frame. And he remembers that we are dust. And your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. Joseph says, I'm setting you free. I'm setting you free. Don't be angry with what you've done. Test number two. Are you willing to set your victimizer free? Test number three, as we hurry along here, is this. He saw God in his injustice. He saw God in his injustice. And now do not be distressed. I'm still in verse 5. Do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, but God sent me here. Let's camp on that phrase for just a moment. Joseph isn't just saying, you know, you guys really messed up by hurting me, but God turned it into something good anyway. He's not saying that. Saying much more, something much more theologically profound. What he's saying is that your evil was part of the divine plan. God had a purpose in all of this. This was long before Romans 8:28 was written, and yet Joseph understood it with incredible clarity that all things work together for good to them that love God, including the false accusations. That all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, because he was able to see God in the midst of evil. Doesn't it remind you of Jesus? It says in the book of Acts, Jesus was offered by the predetermined plan and counsel of God, and you wicked men carried out that plan, and you killed the just one. Was God there when Jesus died? Was there a plan? Was there a plan? And the answer is yes. And Jesus could see God right next to the devil, and he saw God as bigger than the devil. If you're holding on to bitterness, and all that you can see, all that you can possibly see is the devil. That person did that to me, and he is evil. And if you do not see God, you will retain your bitterness. This past week, I read that old illustration that you've heard 1,000 times, but I give it because it fits here, and I happen to have read it. You remember the man giving a speech took a piece of white paper. In the middle of the paper, he put a dot, and then he went from table to table where he was giving his speech and asked people, "What do you see?" And they said, "We see a dot, we see a dot, we see a dot." And then he got to the microphone and said, "All that you saw was the dot. Not one of you said, 'We see a piece of white paper.' All that you could see is the dot." So I have to ask you today, do you see God in your circumstance? Oh, maybe it was done by the devil. Jesus was crucified by wicked men. The devil is there. But do you also see God and his providence in your evil that was done to you? Or are you just totally all that you can see in your narrow mind is the devil? Joseph said, "Look, you sold me. But God sent me. This was part of the plan, and I bow humbly, and I accept that plan." Jesus bowed humbly and accepted the plan of the Father. Well, that's the third test then. How are you doing with these tests? Number four, he blessed rather than cursed his brothers. He said in verse 6 and following, and I won't read all the text, "But the famine has come. God sent me before you to preserve you for a remnant on earth." He says, "Go back and tell my father that I'm living. Bring my dad here." And then he says, "And bring all of my father's children." I had to smile when I read that because he was standing in the presence of his father's children. And he says, "I want you to come and I want you to settle here and I want you to enjoy the prosperity that God has given me." Wow. What he wasn't just saying is, "Okay, I'll forgive. But you can go back there and starve as far as I'm concerned. Go back to the land. And you know what? You deserve to starve, as a matter of fact. I'll forgive you." No. He blessed. He says, "Not only do I forgive you, I'm going to prosper you. You're going to get in on the blessing." Do you know something? That you will never get at the root of your bitterness. Listen to this with such care. You will never get to the root of your bitterness unless you can bless those who've cursed you. It'll set you free. I have a friend who works with Muslims in Europe seeking to give them the gospel of Christ. And he said that a Muslim wrote to him and said to him, "Cursed be you. Cursed be your wife. Cursed be your children. Cursed is the home in which you live. Cursed is the car that you drive." So he said that he wrote back and he said these words in the letter. He said, "This is my prayer for you. Blessed be your wife. Blessed be your children. Blessed be your home. Blessed is the car that you drive." You will never forgive unless you bless those who have wronged you and bless those who curse you. Joseph said, "Oh, to forgive is easy. Yeah, just send them back." No, to forgive means I enfold them in my own blessing and let them participate in the goodness of God in my life. That is real forgiveness. So I have to ask you, have you ever blessed your enemy, or have you only cursed them? You get at the root. You get at the root when you bless and not curse. 5, he refused to retaliate. He refused to retaliate. For this, we have to go to chapter 50. Joseph has lived now in the land with his family for 17 years. Jacob has lived an additional 17 years. So if it was 22 years between the time that Joseph was sold to the time that the brothers come, and then you add another 17 years, what are we getting? I don't know, somewhere in the 30s, I suppose, in terms of time. But notice that when the father dies, the brothers say something. Maybe they concoct a story because they're scared. They say, you know, when your father was living, he told us that you're supposed to forgive us. Are you serious? Did Jacob have to say that? I don't know. But they say about verse 18, and now please forgive the transgression of your servants of God your father. Because they said to themselves, now that our father is dead, Joseph is going to retaliate. It says, verse 15, when Joseph's brothers saw their father was dead, they said, it may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil we did to him. So they come and they say, please, please don't pay us back. What does Joseph do when this happens? It says, Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Joseph was saying, do you mean to tell me, knowing me now for 17 years, do you mean to tell me that you think that I would retaliate against you? He cries just thinking of the fact that his brothers would think that he would do such a thing. So his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? You meant it for evil, he said, but God meant it for good to bring about that many people. And now I'm going to provide for you and your livestock and your families.
This is Pastor Lutzer. Once again, we are so struck by the heart of Joseph. Surely when we think of his heart, we think of the clear blue sky, don't we? Not a single bit of resentment, no revenge, no willingness to get back at his brothers after all the evil that they had done against him. Just a total openness before God and before them, being free from the past and the hurts of the past. I wonder if the Spirit of God is indeed asking us today to do what Joseph did. And of course, we know that the Spirit is available to help us do just that. My friend today, God wants you and me to be free in our relationship with others, and the power to do it is available.
Erwin Lutzer with part 3 of Family Feuds, another message on when you've been wronged. Tomorrow, final lessons from the life of Joseph. Our current series can be yours in book form as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about when you've been wronged. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.